Fox Searchlight Pictures. A news corporation company. Between 1945 and 1962, the United States conducted 331 atmospheric nuclear tests. Today, the government still denies the genetic effects caused by the radioactive fallout. New Mexico desert. Bleached yellow by a sandstorm, it's a parched and rocky terrain. A shallow river babbles its way across the gently sloping desert floor, the odd frond of green weed punctuating an otherwise umber landscape. A fish is netted at the craggy water's edge by a scientist in a radiation suit. A second holds open a specimen bag, while a third scans the area with a Geiger counter. Wandering from a white truck parked on a shingle plain, the scientist with the Geiger counter is engrossed in the needle's fluctuations. He appears over a rocky hill, his view restricted by his radiation suit's visor. Sand blows around him, and the needle's peaking steadily increases. As he's scanning the river valley, suddenly, a bloodied man hurls himself at him. The man cowers as a rusty pickaxe plunges through the scientist's head. Another scientist is hoisted into the air by the pickaxe smashed into his back. As he's slammed repeatedly against rocks, his colleague flees but gets hauled back. Then, chained to the white truck, all four victims are dragged away. Fox Searchlight Pictures presents...
My cake is ready!
A 50s commercial in which a young woman in an elegant white dress and apron dances through a pristine kitchen. She takes out a cake.
Time for the show. Everybody on stage.
Nuclear explosions. A Craven Maddalena Films and Peter Locke production. A film by Alexandra Aya. The Hills Have Eyes. Starring Aaron Stanford, Kathleen Quinlan, Vanessa Shaw, Emile de Raven, Dan Bird, Tom Bauer, Billy Drago, Robert Joy,
to keep you by my side,
and Ted Levine.
And oh, how I cry.
Landscapes are torn apart, prefabricated towns and equipment obliterated. Suddenly, images of grossly disfigured people and misshapen stillborns in jars flash up amongst the military carnage. Feet bearing two prong-like toes. Another grotesque fetus. Twins severely conjoined at the head and a baby with a cleft palate. Misshapen limbs, followed by a nuclear test house being populated with mannequins. As the nuclear testing continues, more disturbing physical deformities flash up.
But oh, how I tried to keep you by my side. And oh, how I cried.
Directed by Alexandra Aya. A roadside garage in the middle of a desert. Wind rattles weather-beaten mailboxes, gusts sand against several rusting vehicles, and blows through a garage long past its prime. A cracked thermometer reads 40 degrees, and a sign says, this gas haven is the last stop for 200 miles. Curious wooden posts in the ground bear liquor bottles on them like stubby branches. Nearby, a light green sedan gathers dust outside a small ramshackle annex at the side of the service station. A jaded front porch is cluttered with rusting lockers and bric-a-brac. The There's a tatty screen door to one side, and in the middle is a white framed window, aged brown like the wood around it. A haggard man with receding hair leaves his unmade bed and the dilapidated confines of his room to venture outside.
Ruby! Is that you?
Someone's watching nearby. The man wets his hand from a shaded pump, dribbling water in the breeze. He's wearing dirty overalls and a faded baseball cap and walks about with a shotgun at the ready. A scorpion scuttles across a rock next to a tangled barbed wire fence. The arid canyon country beyond appears barren and hostile. Hanging from the wilting fence is a tattered sign reading, "No Trespassing, United States Government Department of Energy." Beyond the fence, the garage attendant wanders towards an old mine shaft, where the entrance is stained black with gut rock. A noise makes him scan the hills before he peers down into the mouth of the mine, which swallows a rail track.
Ruby!
He takes a few steps, but seems reluctant to go any further.
Let you, Jupiter, I got some buckshot for you, you hear me?
The hills loom over the garage, and when the attendant returns, he discovers a black leather holdall open on his porch.
I told you it's over! I'm out! You hear me? You're on your own now!
I'm sorry I can't do this anymore.
He steps over the holdall and returns to his home. Someone looks on as his door reopens and he drags the holdall inside. With the few teeth he still has clamped around a cigar, the attendant sits at a table and takes a camera and some jewelry out of the holdall and sets them down. Behind him, a shadow passes the window. He peers through the window blinds and then produces a plastic food carton from the holdall. In it is a bloody human ear with gold earrings still attached. He looks disgusted, but then returns to the bag and finds a wallet on a chain. In it, he takes out a photo of a young, happy couple. He rises to his feet and repacks the bag. Big Bob Carter, a fair-haired mustachioed man, beeps his 4x4.
Hey! It's hot out here.
Honey, you ought to stay in the car out of the wind.
Well, honey, I have to stretch my legs.
Where the hell is everybody? Hello!
Hey. Get up, jackass.
The attendant appears.
Oh, hey! Fill her up, check the fluids, my friend.
Oh, yeah, right away, sir.
Beauty, stop it!
No!
Damn it! You okay?
Tell me again why we couldn't fly like normal people. Oh, that's right, they wouldn't let your dad drive the plane.
Doug, relax, please. It's their silver anniversary, and they're so happy you came.
Parents can't stand me.
No, you're wrong. They love you.
I could have taken them on a cruise.
Hey, you know what? Stop. I never ask you for anything, okay? Just think how happy you'll be when Catherine comes along on the 25th. Huh?
Doug stops tinkering with the trailer home's aircon and kisses his pregnant wife, Lynn, who's holding their baby daughter.
It's not going to be in a fucking trailer home.
Don't see too many travelers around here. Where are y'all headed?
San Diego.
California?
Uh-huh.
Sure didn't take the fastest road.
Oh, no. We absolutely had to see the desert, didn't we, Bob?
Absolutely.
Ain't nothing to see in the desert.
Really? Do you hear that, honey?
Yeah. Don't you know it's illegal to smoke around a gas pump?
Yeah.
Brenda, Big Bob's youngest daughter.
Little baby piggy. Little baby piggy. Hey, Bobby, come over here. Look at this.
Oh my gosh. That's so random. You two make a perfect pair.
The blonde-haired Brenda scowls at her younger brother.
Yeah.
Bobby goes to urinate behind a nearby shrub.
What are you doing? Don't pee there.
What the hell do you care? Just turn around for a second.
Hello? Don't you see that?
A run-down outhouse.
Jeez.
An unseen figure on tiptoes reaches into the 4x4 and steals a red hooded sweater. Big Bob glances impatiently towards the attendant as he's refueling the vehicle. Lynn and her mum, Ethel, coo the baby. Then Doug appears from the trailer, holding two mobile phones out in front of him. To the attendant.
Excuse me, do you have a phone I can use? I can't get a signal out here.
No, I don't.
Hey, Bukowski, give the cell phone a rest.
Sorry, Bob, duty calls.
Honey, you've been on the phone since we left, really.
Bobby's using the rickety outhouse. Several fly strips caked with insects, and next door he spies some animal remains.
Thanks, Brenda.
An eye peering at him through a hole.
What the hell, Brenda?
He does up his jeans and leaves.
Damn it. Got it all over my hand.
How far are we from
freaking perv.
Oh,
what?
5 or 6 hours.
Honestly.
Doug takes his baby daughter into the shade.
Honey, could you put a cork in it for just a minute?
Well, if I do say so myself, ma'am, your husband here is quite right. This is the only southbound road going to I-88. From there, you can take the 40 to California, but it's a long old drive.
Well, you know, that doesn't bother me a bit. I like to drive at night. I used to work the night patrol for 15 years.
Is that right? You a cop?
I don't know. Detective.
Not anymore, thank God.
I'm starting my own security firm.
Uh-huh. You a cop too, mister?
No, I'm in telecommunications. I sell cell phones.
Well, you won't find any customers around here.
Yeah, no kidding.
One of the family Alsatians escapes.
Beauty, come back here.
Hey, ready? What are you?
$46 even.
Oh, hey, Bob, here, let me take care of that.
I can still afford the gas, Bukowski. Keep the change, my friend.
That's not what I meant.
Next up is Beauty? Beauty!
Lynn enters the station's convenience store.
Beauty! Beauty! Come on, girl! Beauty! Beauty, come on, girl! Hello? Is anyone there?
She passes through a beaded curtain.
Beauty.
The dog's barking at a window in the annex's kitchen diner. Lynn gives the holdall on the table a cursory inspection before...
Beauty, what are you
doing? Can I help you, miss?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just our dog. She got out and she won't stay put.
Lynn, we're leaving.
Come on, girl, let's go.
She hurries out with Beauty. The attendant spots the holdall slightly open and quickly follows after her. Ethel watches Doug and Lynn in the wing mirror.
You want to take it a little bit easy? The heat's making me a little nauseous.
Go!
Do you need something?
Let's go, let's go, let's go!
Honey, we're on vacation.
The attendant taps on Big Bob's window. Lynn belts up beside her baby.
You know, it's not on the map, but if you take a left at the dirt road a couple miles from here, it'll lead you through the hills, probably save you a couple hours. Can't miss it. There's an old fence right in front.
Well, Thank you. Thank you very much.
Old Friends Dirt Road, 2 miles.
Yeah, have a safe trip.
Thank you.
The attendant gives them a toothless cigar smile as Big Bob winds up the window and drives away with the silver bullet-shaped trailer in tow. By the time they leave, shadows are beginning to draw across the dusky desertscape. The attendant watches the family disappear into the distance while chewing his cigar thoughtfully. Then, after a deep breath, he looks to the hills. Far into the horizon, the hills rise defiantly into an azure afternoon sky. Distant jagged canyons give way to softer sandy foothills, at the base of which Big Bob's 4x4 winds its way.
My Bonnie lies over the sea.
Dad, I hate your singing.
My Bonnie lies over the ocean.
Guys, no.
Oh, bring back my Bonnie to me.
Hey, can you imagine the first people that crossed this desert? They didn't know what they were.
Yeah, I can, because neither do we.
Brenda, the road is here, right? It exists. It's got to go somewhere. Besides, look how beautiful it is. Look at the light on the rocks. Gorgeous.
This is so fucked. Excuse me, watch your language, young lady. I would like a little backup here. This is such bullshit.
Hey, watch your fucking mouth.
Just calm down here. We're all a little tired, okay? Yeah, Mom, didn't you grow up in the 60s? Why are you so uptight?
Your mom didn't used to be uptight. She was a little hippie chick.
No.
Yeah, well, you should have seen her when she was your age. She was a little hot.
Dad.
He kisses Ethel's hand. Doug complains to Bobby in the trailer.
Driving through the New Mexico desert in the middle of summer with a broken air conditioner. Great vacation.
Well, I'm glad you came because I would have been so fucking bored otherwise.
Yeah. So bored.
Doug puts on his glasses.
Give up on that, man. I tried for an hour and a half. Things are ancient. Wiring's medieval, needs to be replaced.
Doug frowns.
It's just the thermostat. Just disconnected.
Anyway, at least we can breathe now.
He sinks into some soft seating with a cigarette.
Hey,
I thought you quit smoking.
Is my sister home? Hey, man. Fuck your sister.
You know, Big Bob. Get pretty pissed off. Found out you were smoking in his newly renovated 88 Airstream.
Yeah? Mm. Well, fuck Big Bob, too. Here. Want one? Where?
Bobby reaches for one.
Sister would cut my nuts off if you start smoking.
I think she did that a long time ago.
I think you're right.
As Ethel consults a map, a long chain of retractable spikes is set on the track ahead.
We're somewhere on this blue road.
Mom, we're not on the blue road or any other road. The guy was on the map, remember?
Oh my God! Halt!
The spikes shred a lizard and the 4x4's tires.
Hang on! Hey,
it careers towards a boulder. The front of the vehicle caves in on impact and dust obscures the scene. The spike chain is pulled away.
Honey! Where's the baby? Where's the baby?
She's right here.
Is she okay?
She's fine.
What the hell? What the hell happened?
I don't know. The heat must have caused a blowout.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Sure?
It's just a little here, you know?
God.
Bobby, are you all right, honey? Are you okay?
She's all right.
I knew this wasn't going to be safe for the baby.
Yeah, we're okay. We're fine.
Son of a...
Big Bob pounds the bonnet.
Come here, guys! Come here!
Beauty! Please!
Brenda studies the unforgiving landscape. There's nothing but rocks and desert for miles.
You're so fucked.
Doug's unable to get a phone signal. Lynn comes to him.
Did you find a signal?
No, nothing. 97% nationwide coverage, and we find ourselves in that 3%.
Yeah.
Well, your dad wanted to see the desert. I hope he's enjoying himself.
Doug, don't start.
Maybe somebody will need a rent-a-cop around here.
Doug.
What? Every chance the guy gets, he takes me down a peg. Can't snap back at him?
Yeah, well, don't stoop to his level.
200 degrees out here. No, it's everybody's fault. It's all of you.
Don't listen to him.
Get off my back.
General, what's the damage?
The axle is broken. And it's total.
Can we fix it?
What? No, the frame is twisted to hell. We can't, with what? I mean, give me your damn cell phone. I'm going to call a tow truck.
No signal. I tried.
Well, we can use the CB.
You can try it, but I doubt you're going to get anybody. The freeway's way the hell on the other side of those hills. You won't get a signal.
So what are we going to do?
Excuse me.
Big Bob scowls his way past Doug, who waits expectantly, while Bob drinks water and pours some over his balding head.
Bob? What are we doing?
We walk.
We walk?
Yep, you and me.
We're in the middle of the desert. We're miles from anywhere.
Well, wait, it's either that or we sit here and wait for somebody to drive by. Have you seen anybody drive by since we got off the freeway?
Bob, I haven't seen anyone drive by since he decided to take the shortcut.
Honey, let's go for a walk.
Okay.
There's nothing there. You shitheads.
Bobby's caught the dogs, but is watched by a hunched figure lurking in the hills. While Brenda tans on a sun lounger, Ethel sets up chairs under the trailer's retractable awning.
This desert is full of rattlesnakes.
What?
Bobby, come here.
Yes?
Come here.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, honey.
You're welcome.
Big Bob hands his son a gun.
You know, I saw Mom.
What?
Safety's on, boy.
Yes, sir. I saw a documentary on desert snakes from the Discovery Channel, and there's some species. If you get bit, you can die within like 25 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to see how they stack up against this one.
I thought those were going to stay locked up. And
I thought you weren't talking to me, honey.
You're right.
Relax, honey, I'm a licensed professional. Besides, I take my bullets over your prayers any day.
Yes, well, some things never change.
So what about like scorpions and coyotes and stuff?
Praise the Lord, pass your ammunition.
Bobby gets Doug in his sights.
Hey, Doug! You want to try?
Hey, don't point that at me.
Oh, don't worry, man, the safety's on.
Bobby?
Yeah?
Leave Doug alone. He's a Democrat. He doesn't believe in guns.
Oh, come on, Dougie. Come here, just one shot. It makes you feel kind of powerful. You might like it.
I don't think so, Bobby. I'd probably just shoot my foot off.
You know he's right. He'd probably shoot his foot off.
Doug stops sipping water, distracted by Brenda sunbathing in her bikini top and shorts. Lynn watches from the trailer door and then walks over to her younger sister.
Baby. I hold them up.
I am thrilled. Yeah, it was a total drag.
Yeah, well, you know, I really don't care what they say next year. I am going to Cancun with my friends. Not going on any more of these little family trips.
Well, we're not going to have any more of them, you know.
And if you want to go to Cancun, you know you're going to have to get a job.
Oh, yeah. What? You mean like your job?
I know. I helped Doug out at the store, okay?
Yeah.
Honey, can you bring me my jacket?
I'll be right there, honey.
Brenda replies. Lynn flicks her the finger. Lynn steps up into the trailer and finds Doug's jacket, but then notices a point of reflected light flashing in the hills. She goes over to a window above the sink for a closer look.
Ow! Bobby! Fucker!
Could you give me a Twinkie?
No!
Outside, Bobby wanders off again. Lynn's about to leave with the jacket, but decides to scan the hills once more. Slowly raising the blinds, she peers out, but the light has gone.
Just keep walking this direction.
Yeah, fine. You find out where the road leads, and I'll head back the way we came.
I-88.
Stay away from me.
All right. The road's got to lead somewhere. Maybe back to the freeway.
Are you taking a gun, too?
No, honey, I'm not. I don't need a gun to find help. No, I don't want this.
I need the hat. Come on, you're walking a desert. Who cares? It's not about fashion.
All right, thank you.
Hey, listen, if you don't find help within 5 or 6 miles, just come back, all right?
Here, honey.
I'm going to go to the gas station.
You know, you're just never going to make it back by sunset. It's the only problem.
Hey, it's only about 8 miles. I'll borrow the old man's car, use his phone if he's got one. I'll be back with a tow truck before nightfall.
Can I go with Doug?
No. You stay here with your mother and your sisters. Now, hey, Brenda, listen up. Your brother is in charge, all right? So don't tease him.
I think we should pray before you go.
Oh, Mom.
Brenda, is it really so much to ask?
Yes.
Come on.
Damn it. We're waiting.
Brenda pulls on a vest top.
Bobby,
stop it.
Stop.
Thanks.
Please bless us at this time and send your guardian angels to help us to walk through this valley in our faith.
Amen.
They're unaware that they are being watched through binoculars.
See you guys in a few hours.
The baby lies sprawled in its carry cot with a mobile above it.
Hi. Hi, sweetness.
Hello.
Who doesn't want to sleep anymore?
Are you hungry?
Please take your feet off the table. Honestly, I mean, just because we're camping doesn't mean you get to act like a pig.
No, honey, really, you shouldn't go from the breast to the bottle, the breast to the bottle. I mean, at her age, she should get used to one or the other.
Mom, thanks for the advice, but she's my baby.
Brenda rolls her eyes and sips a glass of juice.
I can't believe that we're stranded in the middle of nowhere on your anniversary.
If we just stayed on the main road, we'd be in California right now.
What I'd give for a hot shower and a cold margarita.
The beach.
Massage.
I'll take a real bed.
The chronic.
What?
Brenda.
What? It's pot, Mom.
Whoa. Who smokes pot?
Yes, exactly. Who smokes pot?
Hey, has anybody seen my red sweatshirt? You know, the hoodie thing in the back seat, Brenda? Aren't you, like, sleeping on it or something?
I haven't touched your smelly sweatshirt, okay?
The dog's so excited.
Well, there's probably some rattlesnakes somewhere around. Ew.
You know how Freud would have interpreted your obsession with rattlesnakes, Mom?
Bobby.
Oh, Bobby Carter? What's that?
So wrong.
That was a little gross. I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize to the entire table.
Well, thank you.
I'm really glad that we all came on this trip together. Well, that makes one of us.
Brenda goes into the trailer.
Does anyone need anything? No.
She slides the door open and a dog escapes.
Brenda!
Brenda! Bobby! Bobby!
Sorry.
Bobby, it's dinner time!
I'll get him, Mom.
This always happens. Bobby! Bobby, I don't want you going away from the trailer right now.
Beauty!
Beauty races up a rocky slope. Bobby struggles to keep up.
Beauty!
He stops in a narrow valley. And climbs a steep rocky outcrop. Sweating and breathing heavily, he calls out.
Beauty!
Bobby continues to pick his way along the uneven valley floor, but then stops suddenly. Distressed by the calls, he wanders a scree slope, scanning the distance.
Beauty!
A figure in his hooded sweater darts behind him. He wheels around, but it's gone. Arming himself with a stone, he ventures back the way he came, towards a jutting boulder. There's nothing but desert beyond. But the figure's watching him. From a ridge above, she tracks his progress as he presses on up the scree slope. Seeing something behind a rock, he brings his hand to his mouth. It's Beauty's body. He hangs his head and staggers towards her. Ah! He crouches down next to the dog and lifts up one of its legs, revealing Beauty's torso has been completely gutted. He trembles in fear and races away across the rocky ground. Distracted, he stumbles and falls through a gap, falling awkwardly on his back 10 or 15 feet below. As he lies on the ground unconscious, the figure edges towards him and places their malformed fingers gently against his chest. It's a young girl with frail skin and a misshapen face. She puts her fingers against the side of his head, and they stain with blood. He stirs a little when two droplets of crimson fall on him from the ledge above, as the figure that was watching the family munches on a dog leg. The young girl, Ruby, looks up at the other mutant, goggle contemptuously. His face is waxy and almost featureless. He points the dog leg at her and laughs. Doug's wandering through a vast stretch of arid flat desert. In the distance, craggy outcrops of rock jut into a valley. Looking exhausted, he staggers forward, hanging his head wearily. He stops for a moment, spotting something, then continues on. In front of him, beneath a rocky cliff edge, is a massive crater, several hundred meters in diameter. He steps to the very edge of the cliff and takes in the vast expanse. He takes off the clip-on tinted lenses from his regular spectacles to get a better look. Later, Doug's inside the crater, which resembles a graveyard for old cars and vans. A pair of black feathered birds strut back and forth on the roof of a caravan. He goes over to a car which is half sunk into the dirt and dust that's smothered across the base of the crater. There's a bloody handprint on the opposite side, which he fails to see. He opens a door and pulls out a teddy bear from the back seat. He pats it down, then paces forward, gazing round at the old wrecks. Nearby, there's an old boat on the back of a trailer, half covered in tarpaulin. Clutching the bear in both hands, He moves towards an old convertible with its cloth roof, twisted and buckled up halfway along the body. Suddenly, a large black-feathered bird flutters out of the car, making him cower. An aerial view reveals there are 5 or 6 near-identical craters spread out across the desert. Across the rugged terrain, past some old carts and metal coal buckets, are the remains of an old mining railway. The track disappears underground. Now it's nighttime, and thin black clouds drift over a full moon. Big Bob approaches the decrepit old service station.
Hello? Hello? Hey,
he steps through the entrance of the convenience store, takes off his cap, and wipes the top of his bald head. He opens one of the refrigeration cabinets and takes out a bottle of water. Across the road, a figure moves.
Hey, I had a bit of a wreck out on your shortcut. Yo! I got some water, all right?
He puts some money down by the till and picks up the payphone. After a couple of seconds, he slams it back down.
Hey! You're here! You home?
Glugging from his bottle of water, he moves towards the back room. On the table, he discovers the holdall and pulls out a handful of jewellery. There's also a video camera and the old takeaway box. He looks inside and sees the severed ear. He quickly reaches for his holstered gun.
Hello? Hello?
With the gun by his side, he peers into another dark room. He gingerly edges into the room, looking around in the gloom. Finding himself by a desk, he flicks on a table lamp and pulls open a drawer. He pokes the long barrel of the gun into the cluttered drawer and pushes stuff around. His eyes lift to a collection of newspaper cuttings on the wall. He tilts the light up to get a better look. One of the headlines reads, "Government ceases nuclear testing." Another, "Nuclear weapons entering new age. Miners refuse to abandon their lands." Amongst the clippings are pictures of deformed children. Another reads, "Family vanishes in New Mexico foothills."
You son of a bitch.
With his gun raised, Big Bob crosses the forecourt to a car. He finds the keys when he pulls down the sun visor. He turns the key in the ignition and the headlights illuminate the small outhouse just ahead. A pair of feet are sticking out under the door.
I got a buckshot. Yeah.
Hey, mister.
You don't understand what's going on here.
Hey!
Up in the mines like wild animals.
Open the door slowly.
Bob pulls open the door and discovers the attendant.
What kind of a place is that?
Okay, put the weapon down. Put it down, easy. Put it down.
I did the best I could. I'm sorry.
He puts the shotgun to his chin and blasts out his brains. Big Bob spins round and shoots randomly towards the voices. He breaks into a run as he edges towards the car and sticks the key in the ignition.
Daddy.
He looks in the rearview mirror to see a deformed figure sitting right behind him. The mutant smashes Big Bob's head against the windscreen and the side window. Later, with his head bloody, he's wheeled off into the mine on an old cart. He gazes up and through blurred vision sees the faces of two mutants looking back at him before passing out again. Beast is agitated and is barking into the night.
Brenda!
Brenda's some distance from the trailer. Bobby's body remains where it was. Ruby's still beside him, kneeling on the ground.
Bobby!
She scuttles away, and he starts to come too.
Okay, let me just... honey, the hair. You know, you really are so lucky that Brenda found you. I mean, what if you'd had to spend the whole night out there in the cold?
Hey, Bobby. Don't worry, Beauty will come back when she's hungry, okay?
Did you throw the radio?
It doesn't work.
Well, we heard something. Some sort of breathing.
What breathing?
It was weird, right, Mom?
I'm sure it was just... static.
Mom, it sounded like a perverted call.
Only Mom would get an obscene phone call out here.
Bobby spins round with a start.
No. I want you guys to stay here.
He darts outside.
What is wrong with him?
Gun in hand. He edges along the outside of the trailer.
What's he doing?
He crouches down as he reaches the dog chain. Beast isn't on the end of it.
Shit.
He looks out into the darkness.
Beast! Beast!
Hey, Bobby.
Jesus Christ!
Hey, whoa, stop! Pointing the gun at me, please.
Jesus, Doug. Bobby.
Doug, I'm sorry, man.
It's me.
You okay?
God.
I didn't mean to startle you, man. Look, I found this place out here. You wouldn't believe it. It's like the Twilight Zone. Hey.
Is that Bob?
It's Doug. It's okay.
Ta-da.
Hey. Oh, my God. Hey. Thank God you're okay. I was so worried about you.
No, I'm fine. Just... exhausted. Look.
Yeah.
Look at all the stuff I found. There's a huge crater out there. It's like people must use it as a dump site or something. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Wait, what
is stuff? It's brand new.
What are we going to do with the fishing pole in the desert? I thought you went to go find somebody.
The road dead ends in 5 miles. That's where the crater is. It's not a shortcut. It's just desert.
It dead ends.
Dead end.
I knew that old man was full of shit.
I hope your dad did better than I did.
Maybe we just missed a turn.
Oh. Hey, did you guys cook any dinner? I'm starving.
Yeah. Come on inside.
All right, thanks. Brenda.
Yeah, I got
it. Bum, my lips are really dry.
Are you serious? It's gross. I'm not living these more.
As the others head back into the trailer, Bobby stays outside. Elsewhere, Beast has found the remains of Beauty's body. He licks her face. Bobby heads back into the trailer and locks the door.
Wait, Bobby, don't close that door. We're leaving in a second.
Get some rest, Dad.
You guys aren't gonna wait till Dad gets back?
Oh, no, Bobby, I'm exhausted. I need to get some sleep.
Oh, no. It's fine. You'll be more comfortable here because I'll sleep on the floor and Mom and Brenda are gonna be up front and you and Lincoln takes back. We got extra sleeping bags and stuff, too. So.
Bobby, you got 6 people sleeping in a 3-person trailer. It's not comfortable. It's a little bit weird, okay? Honey, you gonna bring the water?
Yeah.
Hey, duck. Can I talk to you?
Baby, you coming?
I'm almost ready.
What's going on?
What out?
Bobby.
No.
Bobby,
no, it's...
Hey. Huh? I'm sure your dad's gonna be back soon, okay? I mean, come on. He's Big Bob, right? I mean, I'm sure it's gonna take more than a couple of snakes and scorpions in the night to stop him. Okay?
So,
did you get pillows?
I'm in the SUV.
Hey, listen. If he's not back by midnight, we'll both go looking for him. Deal?
Yeah, deal.
Okay. Get some rest, man.
Yeah. Good night, Bobby.
Good night.
What are you doing? There's no mosquitoes in the desert.
Honey, there's mosquitoes everywhere.
Hi.
Brenda winds up a mobile above the baby's basket, and it starts to spin. Bopping her head to the music she's listening to on headphones, she wanders over to her bed and curls up. She reaches up and switches off the light. The baby sleeps soundly. Ethel's also sleeping, and Bobby's sitting nearby, wiggling his foot agitatedly. He idly plays with the torch on his lap, flicking it on and off. He checks his watch. It's 11:49. Hearing the bark outside, he grabs his gun. He moves towards the still-burning campfire, shining his light into the gloom.
Beast? Beast? Beast?
Brenda sleeping soundly in the trailer. The light comes on, and a trembling hand lowers towards her face. It gently pushes back her blonde hair, Ethel still sleeping.
Beast! Beast! Beastie! Come here, boy!
The hand pulls back the sheet covering Brenda to reveal her body. The figure has a deformed eye and a contorted mouth. Bobby's torch stops on a bush. He sprints back towards the trailer. The figure, Pluto, runs his hand against Brenda's face. She wakes, and he covers her mouth to keep her quiet.
Guys! Guys! Oh,
guys! Jesus!
Bobby!
What is it, Bobby?
Guys, something is going on around here.
What is it?
There are like people or something living in those hills.
People?
No. Duck, Bobby.
Bobby, listen to me. We're in the middle of nowhere, okay? Nobody lives in those hills.
Beauty's dead.
What?
I found her, and she was like... It looked like somebody, like, cut her open, you know? Yeah, and I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to scare everyone, and I didn't want to get Mom upset. But I'm telling you, there is something going on, okay? And Dad's not even back yet.
Okay. All right, stay right there. Come check this out.
We're not alone.
Lynn, you stay here, you lock the car, okay?
Calm down. I'll check this out.
They're about to discover Pluto attacking Brenda when he growls into a walkie-talkie. An explosion climbs into the air some distance away, engulfing Big Bob in flame.
It's Bob.
Wait, I don't know what that is.
It's Bob.
I don't know what that is.
Bob.
Dad?
Bob.
Brenda, watch the baby.
Doug runs into the trailer to grab a fire extinguisher, but fails to see Pluto restraining Brenda. As he runs towards the fire, another mutant leaps off the roof, then ducks inside. The other mutant, Lizard, has a cleft lip and deformed jaw. He puts on Ethel's sun hat and apron. Ethel screams, helplessly watching her husband burn. Lizard glugs some milk from the fridge, but is then distracted by the parakeets. Doug's extinguisher seems to do little to fight back the roaring flames. Lizard is clutching one of the parakeets. He suddenly sinks his teeth into it and bites off its head. He spits out the head and squeezes the blood out into his mouth. Lizard edges over towards Pluto, who's still laying on top of Brenda.
You gotta be a man to do that.
He pulls him off and pistol whips him in the face.
I told you to move! So move! Get!
Flying into a childlike tantrum, Pluto hits the walls with his fist, then starts smashing the furniture. Lizard beats Brenda with a pillow. As Pluto smashes up the glasses and crockery in the kitchen, Lizard grabs Brenda's legs and forces them open. She struggles and he smacks her across the face. He undoes his trousers, then smears his hand against her and sniffs his fingers. Pluto looks around, seemingly enchanted by the noise of the baby.
Not my Bob! Not my Bob!
Come on, Mom, no!
Doug eventually extinguishes the fire. Lynn and Ethel hear screaming.
I want to stay here, okay?
Ethel turns back towards Big Bob and weeps. Lynn runs into the trailer and discovers Lizard holding Catherine in his arms.
Yeah. Oh, big, fat, and juicy.
Lynn grabs a frying pan and smacks Lizard across the face with it. She goes to hit him again, but he grabs her arm and points his gun at baby Catherine.
No, please!
He reaches towards Lynn and runs his hand down her face. Bobby marches off.
Bobby! Bobby, where are you going? Fucking kill us, motherfuckers! Back here, don't do something stupid!
As Pluto restrains Brenda, Lizard licks Lynn's chin. He rips open her shirt. He pulls down her bra and moves his mouth towards her breasts. Doug hauls down Bob's body. With his gun still pointed at Catherine, Lizard is suckling from Lynn's breast. He fails to see Ethel creep in. Lizard spins round and shoots Ethel in the chest at point-blank range. Unseen, Lynn picks up a screwdriver that's on the floor. Doug chases after Bobby. Lizard points his gun at Brenda. As he's about to shoot, Lynn stabs him in the leg with the screwdriver. He aims the gun at her head and blows her brains across the wall. Pluto runs out carrying the baby, followed by Lizard, who's holding on to Brenda.
Brenda! Come on now! Look at me! Look at me!
Look at me!
Yes!
Now come back, boy.
Brenda! He stuck me like a pig!
Lizard and Pluto run off towards the hills. Bobby shoots at them from a distance, but misses.
Are you okay?
Are you okay?
Something pulls away Big Bob's body. Doug enters the trailer and sees Ethel's twitching body at one end. He turns and gasps when he's confronted by Lynn's body. Blood and brain matter have pooled around her head. He crouches down and gently touches her skin.
Oh, God. Don't move, honey. Don't move. Okay. All right, you're gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay. Okay. Honey. Sweetheart. Lynn, come on! Lynn! Come on.
He bows his head over her as she dies. Suddenly, he stands up to peer into the baby's basket and finds the infant missing. Trembling, he sits back on the floor and leans up against a cabinet. His head lifts and he begins to sob. Some distance away, Goggles in the hills, looking at the trailer through binoculars. Hearing a noise, he suddenly looks round. Beast appears out of nowhere and savages his neck. Blood pours from his jugular. Brenda's hunched up on the bed.
What are we gonna do if they come back, Doug?
Doug tries to comfort Ethel.
This trailer is so small, I clean and clean. It's still a mess. It's a mess. Is Big Bob home? Everybody went to bed. Yes.
Yeah, Brenda's right here and Bobby's in the back.
That he's sleeping.
You need anything?
Bobby covers Lynn's body with a blanket.
Sweet dog. I understand why Lenny loves you so much. So much.
The life seems to disappear from Ethel.
I'm not gonna take this shit. We're not going anywhere.
You wanna die too?
I don't fucking care!
You wanna die? Huh? Look what they did to your mother! Look what they did to your sister, huh? You need to stop and think. You're not a fucking child anymore. You wanna make it 3 feet out there.
We need a plan.
We need to think. We need to think.
Think about what? Think about what, Doug? They have Catherine, they have your daughter, and you're just gonna sit here and do nothing? That's because you're a fucking pussy, just like my
shut
dad
the fuck
said.
Up! Shut up! Shut your mouth!
A shadow moves past the window. Bobby raises his gun towards the door.
Goggle. Goggle.
Bobby lowers his weapon, trembling slightly. Doug crouches down to peer through one of the bullet holes in the door. He slowly opens the door and climbs down onto the trailer step. The light from the still-burning campfire flickers on his face. The radio's in the hand of Goggle's severed arm. Bobby's about to follow when Doug points to the space beneath the trailer and gently nods. Bobby shoots through the floor. Beast runs over to Doug.
Beast! Beast! You're alive! Oh, good boy!
Jupiter's going to finish them off.
Why are you doing this to us? Why are you doing this? You hear me? Give me back my baby. What the fuck do you want from us? What do you want? Give me back my little girl. You hear me?
Doug stares at the walkie-talkie, then lets it drop from his hands.
Bobby.
Hmm?
How many bullets do you have left?
A clip and a half. What are we doing?
Morning. The sun rises in the distant horizon. With a baseball bat in one hand and Beast's lead in the other, Doug runs up to the peak of a hill. He treads over a blood-stained rock. Beast runs faithfully beside him as they round a bend. they reach the entrance to the mines.
Come on, big guy. I hope you're not afraid of the dark.
Both man and beast seem a little anxious to enter the darkness. There's a trail of blood between the parallel tracks of the minecart. He shines his torch along the rocky walls that line the narrow pathway. Then the narrow path opens up into several large caverns. They pass under a massive stone archway and continue further underground. Suddenly, a figure moves in the distance. He turns to look, but sees nothing. Marching on, they negotiate a small steep slope and follow the path of the tracks. Against the wall is a pickaxe stuck in the ground with a small photograph of a young man attached to it. Doug continues on, passing more and more, each with a different photograph hanging from it. Beast runs on, and Doug holds tightly onto the lead.
Oh boy.
They emerge from the underground and back into the sunlight. Doug shields his eyes. Ruby peers round from behind a rock, but Doug doesn't see her. Doug and Beast edge down a rocky slope towards a cliff that looks out over the vast expanse of desert. In the distance, he sees a small cluster of buildings. He pulls out his radio.
Bobby, follow the blood trail. It leads to a town or something out here. Bobby.
Brenda's wheeling a tire past the trailer. She lays it down and squirts lighter fluid over it. She ignites it with a match and steps back as flames and smoke rise up. The rising smoke is visible some distance away. Bobby's running a thin wire around the trailer, forming a perimeter. He winds the wire past a small stick that's poking out of the ground, then carefully keeps unraveling it. He hammers in another peg.
Yes. Maybe someone heard our calls.
Nobody's gonna hear the fucking calls, Brendan! Nobody's gonna see the goddamn smoke in this goddamn desert! We're in the middle of shit!
He goes over to her and holds her close.
I'm so scared. Who are these people?
Doug's arrived at the small cluster of buildings, a seemingly deserted town. An old car is parked outside a building, caked in dust and sand. With Beast at his side, Doug paces along the main drag, a winding dust pathway between the buildings. He edges towards one of the buildings, taking shelter from the sand and dust that's drifting past. He passes half a dozen mannequins that are posed on the veranda of a house. Their bodies are charred, and their clothes scorched. Their chirpy expressions and vintage clothes suggest that they once represented an idyllic 50s family. Inside the living room of another house are two child-shaped mannequins positioned in front of the television. Doug steps inside and stares at the figures. Nearby, a metal sign swaying in the breeze reads, Test Village, Military Area, Risk of Radiation. On some swings nearby, two child-sized mannequins sway eerily in the breeze. Rounding the corner of a house, he discovers a spluttering petrol-powered generator. Smoke spews from the old grimy machine. Moving to the window, he wipes away the dirt to peer inside. He sees his daughter rolling around on a bed. He's about to move back round to the front of the house when a hulking figure walks past without seeing him. The huge man, his neck braced in a metal frame, is pulling a cadaver tied to a piece of rope. The figure turns, revealing his face is covered in cysts. Doug and Beast have gone. Cyst staggers towards the generator. He carries a shotgun. Seeing no one there, he lumbers off, failing to notice that Doug and Beast are hiding in the burned-out body of an old car. Doug steps out of the car and shuts Beast in.
Good dog. Stay.
Beast paces and whines as Doug creeps towards the front of the house. He reaches for the door handle and starts to twist it. He enters a dingy room, the light through the window dulled as it passes through a grimy curtain. Twisting back the handle to minimize the noise, he closes the door behind him. Lifting the bat above his head, he creeps forward across the creaking floorboards. A smile of nervous relief fills his face as he sees his daughter, still unharmed, lying on the bed. Suddenly, out of the corner of his eye, he spots the back of a bald head of a figure in the next room. It's a bald, heavy-set woman, rocking back and forth in a chair as she brushes the hair of a mannequin head. Doug gently scoops Catherine up into his arms and grimaces as he tries to back out of the room. He edges back along the corridor he entered through, moving only a few inches with each step. He's only a few feet from the door when suddenly the bald woman appears from nowhere and bashes him on the head. Flashes of an abattoir-like room with slabs of meat hanging from the ceiling. At the trailer, Bobby and Brenda have attached a fishing rod upright against a van, with one of Catherine's rattle toys at the top. The reel from the rod runs around the perimeter. Bobby looks up at the clown-faced rattle high above. Brenda and Bobby carry Lynn's body out of the trailer and put it in the van.
Watch your head, Bob.
They lay it next to Ethel's blood-soaked corpse. Brenda helps Bobby climb back out. He looks back at the two bodies through the window and walks away with a look of utter devastation. Doug's unconscious in a blood-stained metal locker. Beneath him is a pile of twisted, rotting corpses. He slowly comes to, and gradually, the dreadful smell that surrounds him sparks him into action. Lifting his hands, he finds he's trapped inside by a plastic door. He sparks a match, revealing the horrific pile of mutilated corpses beneath him. He thrashes about, but the locker's lid is shut with a metal lock. His baseball bat and torch on the lid of the locker bounce up and down as he tries to bash his way out. He hammers and smacks at the lid until eventually it gives and comes loose. He hauls himself out of the stinking locker. Beast is still shut inside the car where Doug left him. He noses around in the passenger side footwell. Finding a gap in the rusting metal, he squeezes his way out. Doug shuffles along a corridor with the bat lifted above his head. He enters a dining room with a family of mannequins sitting around the table. Their fake smiling faces betray the grimness of their surroundings. Doug then sees the remains of Big Bob's charred body with an American flag thrust into his head. Doug retches at the gruesome sight. Hearing the singing, Doug readies his bat. He edges through the decrepit old rooms until he discovers the source of the singing. Lying back in an old-fashioned wheelchair is a pale, sweaty man with a head so oversized he's unable to lift it. Doug steps forward and readies his bat as he nears Big Brain.
Where is she? Answer me!
I don't know where she is. I never leave this place. Your people asked our families to leave their town, and you destroyed our homes. We went into the mines. You set off your bombs and turned everything to ashes. You made us what we've become. Boom, boom, boom.
Where's my baby? What's so funny?
It's breakfast time.
Pluto smashes in through the French doors, wielding an axe. He swings and thrashes, obliterating the furniture as Doug tries to dodge the blows. In a psychotic rampage, Pluto chases after Doug, who stumbles on the stairs. The mutant grabs his leg, and Doug grips onto the spindles. Pluto hauls him down, and an axe blow lands inches from Doug's head. Suddenly, Beast appears out of nowhere and sinks his teeth into Pluto's hand. With the mutant distracted, Doug grabs his bat and hides in a bathroom. Pluto hits at Beast's head with his forearm, trying to release the canine's jaws. Eventually, Beast lets go, and Pluto tosses him across the room. Doug manages to haul an old bathtub to the bathroom door and wedges it closed. He backs away, then steps towards the door with the bat raised above his head. Suddenly, Pluto bursts through the wall and lifts Doug up with one hand gripped around his neck. He tosses him across the room with ease. Pluto swings wildly as he chases Doug through a room with plastic sheeting hanging from the ceiling. Pluto swings at the ground and chops through the baseball bat. Before he can recover, Doug drives the splintered length of wood into Pluto's torso. Pluto grimaces as he pulls the length of wood out of his stomach, then smacks Doug across the face with it. Doug gets up, but his vision is blurred and he's unsteady on his feet. Pluto charges towards him and smashes him through the wall into the next room. With Doug sprawled on the floor, Pluto picks him up and tosses him through a window into the next room. He strides after him and brings down the axe on his hand, slicing off two of his fingers. Groaning in agony, Doug takes shelter beneath the table as Pluto swings the axe, chopping off the mannequin heads. The mutant peers down at Doug and smiles viciously, then obliterates the top of the table with a blow of the axe. He heaves the remaining frame of the table out of the way and prepares to land a final blow. Doug takes the screwdriver that's tucked into his belt and holds it up in a pathetic display of defiance. Pluto peers at the screwdriver, then presses the blade of the axe against Doug's throat. Doug's body hangs limp through injury and sheer exhaustion. Pluto runs the axe blade across Doug's matted, sweaty hair.
Please don't kill me.
Please don't kill me.
Please don't kill me.
Please don't kill me.
As Pluto turns to laugh with Big Brain, Doug jams the screwdriver through Pluto's foot. As he cries out in agony, Doug yanks the flag out of Big Bob's head and spears it into Pluto's neck. Pluto sinks to his knees. Doug grabs the axe and smashes it into Pluto's head. With his head split like a melon, Pluto tumbles to the floor, dead. Doug picks up his glasses, which have one shattered lens, and slips them back on his blood-soaked face. Outside, Cyst pumps his shotgun as he ambles along past a car and towards the house. Suddenly, Doug jumps out from behind the car and hacks the axe into Cyst's leg. As Sist buckles, Doug brings the axe down into his back. With Sist paralyzed on the ground, Doug spins the axe around in his hand and jams it pointed end first straight into the mutant's eye.
Lizard, kill the baby.
Having seen Sist killed, Big Brain has sent a message over the radio. He then notices Beast enter the room. Ruby smiles down at baby Catherine. Doug runs to another house and raises Sist's shotgun as he moves into the living room. He sees the fake plastic smiles of a mannequin family posed there. He moves through to a dining room. In a kitchen, Lizard picks up a meat cleaver. He staggers through the dingy room, past slabs of meat hanging from the ceiling. Ruby looks up anxiously as Lizard moves towards her and the baby.
Get away, Ruby. Get.
Ruby runs away. Doug finds a nursery. He sprints over to the cot and pulls back the sheet, but only finds a doll.
Mister, would you play with us?
He turns to see two small children, both with deformed faces. He sprints back out into the street, Lizard's reaching to pull back the blanket that's covering Catherine. Lizard raises the cleaver and pulls back the blanket to reveal a pig. Doug stops when he sees Ruby on a high, distant ridge, carrying Catherine in her arms.
Catherine!
Catherine's toy blows gently in the breeze at the top of the fishing line. Suddenly, the reel retracts and the toy shakes violently.
No! No!
Come on, Bernie. Come on, Bernie!
Stay with me.
Come on. It's gonna be all right.
Bobby raises the gun as he leads Brenda towards the van. They edge past the trailer. Bobby's arm is trembling slightly, and his eyes are fixed open in a wild stare. They reach the perimeter tripwire.
Oh, no, you motherfucker.
Brenda points at a ball of tumbleweed tangled up in the wire.
Mom, it's just a tumbleweed. Come on, let's go back to the trailer. Come on. Come on.
Their mother's body has disappeared from the van.
She's gone. She's gone. She's gone. Brenda! Brenda, go get the trailer ready! Brenda! Go get the trailer ready, okay? Go!
Where's Mom?
Listen, go get the trailer. Go in, we talked about.
Bobby follows a trail of blood on a rocky path. Hearing noises, he slows slightly and readies his weapon. Behind the rocks, he sees Papa Jupiter feasting on his mother's insides. He trembles and starts to back away, but not before Papa Jupiter looks up. Bobby breaks into a run and shoots back without looking at his pursuer. In the trailer, Brenda has pulled two gas canisters into the middle of the kitchen. One of Bobby's shots connects with Papa Jupiter's arm. Bobby stumbles. He goes to fire, but he's out of bullets. Getting to his feet, he sprints back to the trailer. Papa Jupiter takes a small pickaxe from his belt and hurls it at Bobby, but it slams into the trailer.
Go! Get the window! Get the window!
Papa Jupiter's arm smashes through the window and grabs Brenda. Bobby releases Papa Jupiter's grasp and ties the mutant's hands together around the frame of the smashed window. As propane fills the trailer, Bobby and Brenda climb out of the window at the far end. Brenda and Bobby have attached a line of matches to the trailer's door. They run across the desert terrain and hide behind a rock. Papa Jupiter eventually releases his hands and sprints round to the front of the trailer. He peers inside and opens the sliding door, sparking the matches. The gas ignites and he's consumed in a fireball. The trailer is completely obliterated. Brenda hugs Bobby. With the vast desert stretching out in front of him, Doug runs along a rocky path. He climbs up an escarpment. Ahead, Ruby's jogging along with Catherine in her arms. Doug reaches the top of the slope and appears in front of Ruby. He points his shotgun at her. She stops and holds the baby out towards him. Suddenly, Lizard leaps down from a ledge high above and drags Doug onto the ground. He smacks Doug in the face and hits him with a palm to the nose. Lizard unravels a spiked metal chain and whips it at Doug, tripping him over. Doug narrowly avoids two more blows. The mutant pins Doug to the rock face, but Doug grabs him in the leg, squeezing his injury. He pushes him away, but Lizard hits Doug in the face with the spiked chain, then rams his face repeatedly into the ground. Ruby runs off. Blood spills from Doug's mouth.
Ruby! Ruby! Come back here! You little bitch!
Doug comes to, his bloody injured hand quivering. Lizard chases after Ruby and grabs her by the leg. Doug appears behind him and smacks him in the face with the butt of his shotgun. He bashes him again and again as blood flies from the wounds. He shoots him in the torso at close range, then blasts him again in the shoulder. He staggers towards the downed mutant and kicks him. Lizard's body doesn't move. Ruby steps towards Doug, holding the baby. He turns and hobbles towards her. Ruby hands Catherine over, and Doug holds the baby close. Ruby watches with an anxious expression as Doug kisses Catherine on the forehead. Focusing on the baby, he doesn't see Lizard get up and retrieve the shotgun, which he then aims at father and child. Ruby sees him and charges forward. She tackles Lizard, sending them both over a cliff. Doug steps to the edge of the cliff and looks down at their motionless bodies. Brenda and Bobby are searching the burning fragments of their trailer. Thick black smoke rises from the debris. They discover Papa Jupiter, still alive and badly burned. He tries to lash out, but he's impaled on a metal rod. Brenda charges forward and buries the pickaxe in his skull. Blood sprays across her face. She puts her arm around Bobby, and they steady one another.
Oh my God, look! Bobby!
In the distance, they see Doug approaching, holding Catherine, and with Beast walking alongside them. Bobby looks incredulous, and both he and Brenda sprint forward to greet Doug. The family embrace, reunited. Doug grips onto the others, his blood-stained face displaying his utter exhaustion. Celebrating their survival, they're oblivious to a watching gaze from a distant hill.
In the valley of the sun.